Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily devotional designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're looking at the Gospel of John, starting in chapter 7, verse 40 through 52. I'll read this passage, and then we'll get started. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." And still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from the town of Bethlehem, where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way that this man does," the guards replied. "You mean he's deceived you too?" the Pharisees retorted. "Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him?" "No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you'll find out that a prophet does not come from Galilee." One of the interesting things about this passage is it makes it very clear that there's a lot of discrepancy about who Jesus is, right? Some of the people think that he's just a prophet, one who speaks on behalf of God. Other people think he's more than a prophet, that he is the person who all of the Old Testament has been pointing forward to, the anointed one, or the Hebrew word is the word Mashiach. Is this the Messiah that the Old Testament has been promising? Well, they're conflicted. They don't really know what to make of him. On top of that, the religious leaders think that he is deceiving people and pulling them away from God, not pointing them towards God. So they want to throw him in prison. He is becoming a problem for them, and they want to get rid of him. And in reading this story, I can't help but think of one of the more famous paragraphs from the late Christian author and philosopher C.S. Lewis. When he said this in his book, Mere Christianity. He said, "I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus, that I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God." That is the one thing we must not say, Lewis says. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any more patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. You see, Jesus desires that we would know him as he truly is. And he is not merely a prophet. He is not merely one who has wise things to say about the way we live. He is himself, God in the flesh, who has come to meet with humanity and reconcile humanity to the Father. Jesus himself says this later on in the gospel, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father except through him. And the beautiful picture of the gospel is that he invites all kinds of people to follow him. Not just one specific group, not just from one specific tribe. He invites all kinds of people. John has been making this case throughout his entire gospel. Most famously, he wrote it this way in chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This is what Jesus invites us into. This is what we cannot be confused by. This is what we have to see is not just the musings of a madman, a lunatic, or a liar, but this is the truth that God has humanity to live by, that there is no other way to everlasting life other than through Jesus. Now, let's take a moment to pray it up. I'm going to give you a few prayer points, and I want you to pause after each one of them and take a moment yourself to pray back some of the things that we talk about. Here's number one. Who do you think Jesus is? Honestly, take a moment and have an honest conversation with yourself and bring that conversation before the Lord, asking that He would show you who Jesus absolutely is. Not just as a great moral teacher, but as the one who is Lord over creation, Lord of your life. Number two, ask yourself this for a moment. Do you truly see Jesus as Lord? Do you live as if He is Lord over your life? Or does He function more like a wingman? Is He your co-pilot? Is He the one who's quietly affirming the decisions that you ultimately make? Now, Jesus doesn't invite us to a life of where He is just your sidekick. He invites you to a life where He is your teacher, your rabbi, where you look to Him, not to yourself. Finally, let's take a moment to talk about what it means to live this out. Friends, I think that we live in a cultural moment where we need more clarity than ever before on who Jesus is and in sometimes the uncomfortably exclusive claims that Jesus makes about Himself. Right, that He is not just a way to God, but the way, the only way to have a reconciled relationship with the Creator of the universe. Do you have that type of clarity on who Jesus is? What are ways that you need to study yourself to become better acquainted with what the Scriptures actually teach about who Jesus is as you continue to walk with Him and grow as a follower? Friends, thanks for tuning in to the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.